I bless you this morning. We've been looking at Hebrews 11, faith, and kind of studying this out. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into our lesson. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to gather together this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our gathering. We know, Lord, we've got a promise laying there in your word that where the twos and threes are gathered together, you'll be in our midst. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll quicken the word that we hear today, Lord, and if we study these things out, Lord, that you'll help us, to give us understanding, we pray in your name. Amen. So verse 1 says, just to remember last time we kind of ran out of time, and sometimes I apologize for going so fast. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. I get speedy, like Speedy Gonzalez from the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. But we'll try to just slow down and meditate on some things and just kind of back up a little bit. Now, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. I just want to mention real quick, too, if you hadn't listened to Brother Ryan's Sunday school lesson on faith, you know, when we were down there in Nicaragua, I got a chance to just go back and listen again and catch up. And that, I just really appreciate that, his little lesson on faith. And for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And in verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, you know, I really one of the reasons I just kind of wanted to just meditate on each of these things, these little stories, is because it really drives the point home of what is faith. And you think about the condition that Abel and Cain and Adam and Eve and all them were in, even the story of Adam and Eve, that God told them, multiply and replenish the earth. Well, it wasn't quite revealed how that was going to happen. Just wait and hold on. Wait for God to reveal it. And if you go on and try to force it and try to figure things out, then you get everything messed up. And see, that's exactly the same story that was repeated with Cain. He tried to figure it out with his own mental understanding, even though he'd been taught by his mother and father and all the, he had like the history and everything, but the difference is your revelation. And revelation is when God comes and he takes the veil off of it and reveals to you the essence of the thing. And Brother Ram said in the Maniac of Gadara, he said Abel had a revelation. We're letting that soak just a minute. It was a revelation that Abel had that made him just. He had a revelation of the requirement of Almighty God, and he brought a lamb. And that's the only way that you'll ever be able to see divine healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll be by revelation. That's the only way you'll really be able to see anything that God wants you to see. I think sometimes God just wants us to take the Bible open and just set it down, maybe in the evening, and just meditate on these stories. Like maybe think about how the devil told his lie, and their eyes were open. And you see there's these parallels that God wants to open your eyes, and the devil's trying to open your eyes to his lies and his deception. But God wants to open your eyes to the truth. And you see, when you begin to just sit and meditate on these things and think over, just think about it, like get a scripture laying there in front of you and just think about what it means and let God begin to speak to you. Then God will reveal it to you. And see, there's the revelation is something that's like look at Abel there. How am I going to get back to God? And you can see have all the education laying there in black and white on the page that you could read about. But the revelation was what to do. What I need is blood, is life. That I was born wrong. And you see, when God begins to reveal to you that you were born wrong, and you need a redeemer, and how to get back, it's something that's coming off of the page. It's something that's alive and real. It becomes real to you, and that's the only way you'll ever be able to see your divine healing, your salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the capstone, anything that we're talking about. You've got to have revelation. And see, what I'm getting at is revelation trumps. Revelation goes beyond just being taught about something. Revelation goes beyond just having it laid there in black and white where you just kind of know it in your head. But revelation comes, the only one that can give revelation is God himself. So what is revelation? It's like somebody taking a covering off of a statue. Brother Bram will use that example a lot of times, because now what was obscured, now you can see the thing. Now you see like Abel there, and how am I going to get back? Well, it was obscured. Eve, how am I going to multiply and replenish the earth? It was obscured. It was covered over. But when the cover is pulled off, then you can see the essence of the thing. So revelation is the act of revealing or disclosing, the dictionary definition. It's something, God's disclosure of himself and his will to his creatures. You see, that's what revelation is all about. That God, what is the evidence of the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. What is the whole thing? It's God revealing himself to you and revealing as part of that his will. And revealing, as he reveals himself, then you're part in that. So he's revealing you also, because you're part. So all of it is revealing himself to you. So if we go back to, in verse 3, it says, in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, you see, you start look, open up your Bible and just lay it flat on the bed at night and just look at those things. Why? Think about. And I'm trying to encourage you to just meditate, get along with God at night or in the morning, and think about these things. Why did God respect Abel? Why does God respect me? Does God respect what I'm doing? Why did God not respect Cain? What's the difference here? Because Cain was religious. Cain was coming to church and, you would say, paying his tithes and doing all the things that a good churchgoer would do. What's the difference? What's the difference? And see, the difference is revelation. The difference is faith. And Brother Ram said, now look at Cain in the Garden of Eden. Cain, when he come back to Eden, he was just as religious as he could be. He brought flowers and so forth and put them on the altar. He brought the fruits of the field and laid them down. He believed in God. He worshiped God. He sacrificed to God. He built a church to God, just as religious as he could be. And Abel rolled him up a rock and made him a church or worship place. See, the difference is in your heart, not by intellectual, by his heart. God wants you to worship in spirit and in truth, a quickened revelation of God, of the person of Jesus Christ and his will to you. Oh, you see, when you begin to enter into revelation, then you know why you're coming to church. It becomes more than just kind of going through some works and things. So you're not just coming to church just to sit there. It's something real to you. You see, God wants us to fall in love with him. That's what revelation is about. You see, I'm kind of, when you study at the message, what Brother Ram talked about education, he really hammered on education and theology and creeds, because that's really what the essence of this story is. Cain and Abel, sitting there at the feet of Adam and Eve, they learned all about what happened in the garden of them leaving with the, surely they told them the stories of them leaving with the blood dripping off of their side and what happened, not all the details and everything, but they had a good education about that. They used to be able to speak to the wind and the waves and it would stop, and now something happened. And Moses down in Egypt, he had a good education at his mama's feet, where she told him he was going to be a deliverer. And Moses even tried by his theology, he tried to just be a deliverer by killing the Egyptian. Well, I'm going to be a deliverer, but it wouldn't work until God revealed it to him. You see, there's a difference between Moses sitting at his mama's feet and Moses at the pillar of fire. Something changed when he got in front of the pillar of fire. When God spoke to him and revealed to him his purpose, then there was a difference. The children of Israel in the wilderness, wandering around, they continuously being preached at. You can go into the promised land. You can overtake the enemy. But yet they didn't believe. They didn't enter in by faith. Only two, one in a million. All Paul's years with Gamaliel, where he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and still he failed to recognize that all those scripture, those Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. See, there's the difference between education and revelation. When finally he saw that light and then the prophet prayed over him and the scales came over his eye, off from his eyes, and it was revealed to him all those things that he had been taught. He had been educated for a long time, but then the revelation struck and it was revealed to him. Just like all the disciples that stayed with Jesus for 3.5 years and listened to him preach and preach and preach to them, but yet they couldn't answer the question like how are we supposed to be baptized? Until the day of Pentecost, when revelation struck, and they come out of the upper room preaching that we'll tell you how to get born again, because they had a revelation. See, there's the difference between education and revelation. You see, we don't come to church so much to get education is part of it. Like maybe even the Sunday school lesson is good education. But when you're sitting here and then just something you begin to meditate on in the quiet of your room and you begin to think on God and God begins to move. And it's not the preacher that's giving you the revelation, but it's God speaking to your heart and opening up something to you. And you see, that's the thing that gives you power. That's the thing that gives you overcoming powers when God gives you a revelation like he gave to Abel. Like he gave to Enoch that allowed him to escape the bonds of the earth, like he gave to Rahab. Rahab had a revelation that she knew, she had confidence in that little scarlet thread hung outside her window. And that trumped all the education that she might have had by the two spies telling her all kind of things about this and that and the history of the tribes going through the wilderness and all that. She knew because God, she had a revelation from God and she had confidence in that. Oh, you see what that Paul is all through the book of Hebrews. He's been laying a foundation to get us to a place where we trust what God said, because he wants us to trust him. And when we don't trust what God said, like a bride when it's married to a man and she goes looking at another man because she loses confidence in her husband, that's the problem. That's the problem that happened that started in the Garden of Eden when Eve goes to looking at something else. And, you know, we kind of stopped in the last Sunday school lesson. We're looking at serpent seed, because there's the problem. The problem is adultery. And I really want to, I don't know if we'll have time to get into it, but I went and I studied out what the Israelites really believe about serpent seed. And if you go back in history, you'll find out that this ain't just some weird thing that we believe. But it's actually what the Israelites believed all the way from the beginning. And I've got tons of quotes and things from the Talmud and from the all these ancient sources that this is what they believed from the beginning. And so God gave us a prophet in this last day to take us back to the original faith, to take us back to what they originally believed from the beginning. Now, I got off my notes a little bit, but that's where I'm going. So I said that to kind of keep everybody away. Education. You see, you can learn a lot of books of the Bible. You can memorize scripture. You can memorize all these stories, but you can try to connect all the dots on your own. But God, when God gives you a revelation, it's him connecting the dots and putting it together into a perfect understanding. And you see, when you try to figure it out, you miss the goal. I'm just gonna. look at this now. I'm just kind of hammering on education. He said, and Moses, when Brother Brown preached on Moses, he said, more simple you can get, the more humble, and get away from yourself, your own ideas. Just take God's word for what it's worth and believe it. And it's by faith that these things are come, not what you can figure out. You'll never be able. Oh, that should give us, I think it should give us confidence. When you stumble over maybe weighty doctrines and things, just wait. Don't do like Eve and try to rush into it and try to figure, just because you mess it all up. And you see, you look down through history and you can see so many people that have just got it messed all up because they tried to hurry and figure it out and boom, all of a sudden they ran into like a seven thunder doctrine where now they got some man that you got to go follow or you get all stumbled over a weighty doctrine and they just can't figure it out. So now all of a sudden they're going and preaching politics or preaching on that things that don't really matter, like dinosaurs and whether or not there were dinosaurs on the ark. And, you know, maybe they were, but that don't matter. You know, just, you know, you don't try to force it and figure it out. Just wait on the Lord. He said, there's never been a man on the world, no saint, nor no one has ever figured God out. You can't. So don't think that you can do something that they cannot do, because that's right. You just believe him. That's what he wants you to do, not try to figure him out. Just believe him. You see how it's simple. Simple is that Abel versus Cain. Cain trying to have something that looks all polished up and stained glass windows and incense swinging from something in the church and gold-plated stuff. And that's Cain. But Abel was just a little shepherd on the hillside. David, a little shepherd on the hillside that all of his family looked at him and said, oh, well, I wouldn't have known him to be king. Look at him. He ain't nothing. But that's what God wants. God wants somebody that can just get down to where he can speak to you. Like I was saying, in the quiet of your, and the quiet of your prayer closet, that God can come down and give you a revelation that no man can give you, that only God can give you. And God's provided a way of approach to fellowship. Brother Ram said, I'm not trying to support ignorance, but I'm trying to say this, that education has it's been one of the greatest hindrances that religion of Christ has ever had. People are taking and using their schools of theology to try to educate people for well speaking and how to present themselves and so forth, and they go plumb away from the Spirit. God is not known by education. God is not known by denomination. God is not known by creed. God is known by faith, and that alone. It's by faith are we saved. God is known by faith. So just get as low as you can. Get just real humble, like a little child. And Jesus said, that's the kind of person God wants us to be, is just like a little child that can just take God at his word and wait for him to reveal it. Trust him and just stay right with the word and not try to force it, not try to figure it out, not try to jump to some weird conclusion. There's been enough weird stuff. He said, and God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. He said, see, he done it with his own wisdom, Cain. He done it by his own thoughts. And that's what it is today. They do it by their own wisdom, by their schooling, by their education and ethics that they have learned. But Abel, by revelation, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Nothing clean about it as far as it looked, humanly speaking. The little fella, and grabbing him by the neck and wrapped a vine around him like that and pulled him along to his altar. There was nothing so beautiful about it, laying him up upon the altar and hacking his little throat with a sharp rock until his blood flying all over him, him bleeding, dying. It was a horrible sight, see to it. It was simple, though. In simplicity, he knew that he was born of his mother and father's blood, born in his mother's blood, by his father's blood, and it was blood that caused the fall. So it was blood that would take it back. So he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him. Let me see. Excuse me a second. I'm going to jump through some of these. Try to get to my point. So in verse 27 and 28, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, see, there's God making a promise. He made a promise to Adam and Eve. And see, Eve's problem was she didn't just wait for God to come and interpret that promise. Wait for him to come and reveal it, what we're supposed to be doing. There's our problem. We just fail to wait. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So now we know the story. We've got two trees here in the garden, and these trees are people. There's two trees, and you can eat from. You eat from one tree, you're going to get life. You eat from the other tree, and you're going to die. Oh, you see, you start meditating on these scriptures. That's my problem here this right now. You start meditating on these things and all these thoughts. What does it mean to die? What did they die? All these things, we got to stay on track. But if you sit there and meditate in the still of the evening, then God will begin to open up these things to you and reveal it to you. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did it. Now, I've got these little pictures up here because we know, I think most of us here know the true story of this. It's kind of funny to think of, you know, how most of the world pictures it like a snake with a little apple. But now, if you eat an apple, it's not going to, an apple's not going to open up your eyes. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew, all of a sudden they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. You see, it wasn't an apple that they ate. Brother Bram said in the serpent seed message, he said, well, and see where I'm going with this. I'm going to prove to you that this is just not something that, that some strange doctrine that just appeared out of nowhere or something. He said, what was the seed of the serpent? Adultery. You follow it. Adultery with Eve. What happened to that? What brought that forth? What is it tonight? And you know, Jeremiah in chapter 3, it says, Jeremiah talking to Israel, he said, thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now, Israel's playing a harlot, but she's not doing it natural. So we're talking about spiritual adultery. To look at something other than the word. God's made a promise. God's proved his promise. He come down and proved it. And if we're married to Christ and we start looking at something else, it's committing spiritual adultery. He said, lift up, Jeremiah said, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with, and the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. There's Israel supposed to be married to Christ and going off and flirting with idolatry and all of those strange gods that after God had brought them through the wilderness and yet they're and done all these great things and yet they're cavorting with all that stuff. So there's spiritual adultery and natural adultery. Brother Bram said, and I just got some quotes here where Brother Bram said some things about spiritual adultery. He said, that's how adultery is committed spiritually. When you know him better by the word of God, by the intercourse of the mind, take in a lie of the devil against the word of God. And another place he said, taking the creeds of man out here as man's creeds and accepting them instead of the word, that's committing spiritual adultery against God. And another place he said, no denomination could put anything to it, for whosoever shall take one word away from it or add one word to it, it took away from it. You're dead, hybrid right there. She's back here, this testimony in her hands, the filthiness of her fornications, committing and spiritual adultery against the very word that she claims to believe. See? So God has given us his promises. He's given us his word. If you deviate off of that, you're doing exact. You see, one word off brought death. What will the full restored word? That's why God had to give us a prophet to take us back, to bring life back to us. And natural, Brother Brown said all these things about natural adultery. He said, let me tell you something, sister dear, you're going to answer. I don't care, you might be as pure as a lily. You may never actually commit a sin of that type, immoral sin in your life, but if you dress like that, you're going to answer at the judgment for committing adultery with every man that looked at you. The Bible said, and walk down the street, who is guilty? The man. No, sir, you are. You presented yourself that way. In another place he said, the devil cannot create, he perverts what has been created. What is an adultery? An adultery is the right act perverted. What is a lie? It's the truth perverted. And you see how that goes all the way back to the garden. That God had a plan in place and the devil came and perverted that plan and sowed a lie. And that lie put Eve into a place where first she committed spiritual adultery and then it turned into natural adultery. Because how does adultery start? Adultery starts by somebody telling you something that's wrong and you receive that in the womb of your mind. First it starts in the womb of your mind. And then it progressed, in Eve's case, to the womb, her natural womb. It starts with somebody telling you something, and you say, that's a great idea. Somebody tells you, you see why there's that promise in Revelation that if you add something to it or take something to it, you've got those curses. Because you're adding to what, you're messing up the promise of God to cause somebody to stray away from God's word. So in Genesis chapter verse 14, it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, so you can see, we're going to sit on this for a while, so I know I'm kind of going fast a little bit, but it's all right. There's two seeds. There's the seed of Christ, the woman's seed, the woman's seed, and the serpent's seed. So the serpent's got a seed. So now let's back up a second and just see what the Israelites used to say about this. Now, well, you can read in John chapter 8 that when Jesus was speaking to the Israelites, he told them, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, they're going back to their genealogy. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. Okay, now they're talking about their understanding of what happened in the garden. We're not born of fornication. We didn't come from Cain. We have one father, even God. Now, if you go back to, I found this book online that kind of summarizes what the Jews believe, and it's written, it's called The Legends of the Jews, and it's written by Louis Ginsberg. And it says that according to Jewish tradition, after the fall of Eve, Satan, in the guise of the serpent, approached her, and the fruit of their union was Cain, the ancestor of all the impious generations that were rebellious toward God, and rose up against him. Cain's descent from Satan, who is the angel Samael, was revealed in his seraphic appearance. All right, so let's keep going. In the Proto-Evangelium of James, which is this, there's a lot of these books that were not included in the Bible for different reasons, and this is one of them. And it says, this is supposed to be Joseph speaking. Now, you got to take a lot of this stuff with a kind of a grain of salt. There's a reason why they weren't included in the Bible, but the point that I'm trying to share with you is that this thought process was with the Jews from antiquity, that of what really happened in the Garden of Eden. And so this is supposed to be Joseph speaking, Mary's husband. And he said, I received her from the temple of the Lord God as a virgin, but I did not watch over her. Who has preyed upon her? So when he found out Mary was pregnant, this is what he's supposed to be saying. Who has done this wicked deed in my home and defiled the virgin? Has not the entire history of Adam been summed up in me? For just as Adam was singing praise to God when the serpent came and found Eve alone and led her astray, so too has this now happened to me. So in other words, he's saying just like Eve was, the serpent got Eve and impregnated her, now this same story is repeating in me, because now I found my little wife Mary, now she's having a child with some other man, is what he thought. Is what the story is. Tertullian, who was this an author in the first around 150 A.D., he was he wrote a lot of books on Christianity and things. He said, "You are the devil." Speaking of women, he said, "Women, you are the devil's gateway. You are the unsealer of that forbidden tree." And I'm sorry, we're gonna have to stop right there.